and let's explore a much-debated part of the Iran nuclear deal. It's what Iran will do if an agreement over its nuclear program makes Iran richer.
The U.S. and other world powers persuaded Iran to accept limits on its nuclear development, and in exchange, many billions of dollars in frozen Iranian assets will be freed up.
The fear is that Iran will use that money to finance aggressive moves in the Mideast. NPR's Peter Kenyon asked what the facts show.
If this nuclear deal is implemented, Iran has a lot of money coming. The U.S. Treasury has said something like $100 billion in blocked overseas assets alone. The head of Iran's central bank says it's more like $29 billion. But whatever the exact amount, there are concerns that it'll be more than enough to make a bad situation in the Middle East even worse. Here's what Republican senator and presidential candidate Lindsey Graham calls the most logical outcome of the nuclear accord in remarks posted on the conservative site The Daily Signal.
The most radical regime in the region, the Iranian Ayatollah and his henchmen, are going to get $100 billion. They're going to put it in their war machine to further destabilize the Mideast. You might as well have written the check to Assad, Hamas, and Hezbollah.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's regime has received billions in loans from Iran, and the Hamas and Hezbollah militias may well be looking for more money. And a rising economic tide would allow Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps to replenish its coffers. But those familiar with Iran's ravaged economy doubt that these frozen assets would go into a foreign policy spending spree. Anthony Cordesman at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says, for one thing, Hamas and Hezbollah couldn't absorb billions of dollars in cash or weaponry.
We're probably talking at most several million over time. You're not going to turn the Hezbollah into a major conventional force. You're not going to turn Hamas into a major force because you can't get to them. You can't supply them. So I think we really do need to keep this in careful perspective.
And then there are Iran's own massive economic needs. By most accounts, that's what brought Iran to the negotiating table in the first place. Economist Javad Salehi Isfahani at Virginia Tech says this is not just a matter of good policy. It's a question of President Hassan Rouhani's political survival. With parliamentary elections next spring and a presidential race the following year, Isfahani says the pragmatic wing in Iran needs to be able to get the economy growing very quickly indeed.
Well, there is no question that the needs are huge. There are hundreds of unfinished projects. People are going to be going back to work on those projects. The government can pay back the contractors to whom it owes a lot of money. So a lot of the wheels of economy will start spinning.
Even so, serious economic improvement will take both time and a change in some of the restrictions Iran imposes on itself. For instance, Isfahani says young Iranians are desperate for better communications.
Iran's got a very sophisticated, tech-savvy youth population dealing with an internet infrastructure of 15 years ago. Broadband service in Iran needs to expand really fast, and that is going to take billions of dollars.
It would also take a new willingness by Iran's security establishment to loosen its controls on technology, and there's no sign of that. Iranian businessmen and analysts say it's already clear that economic gains will be sold to the public as a continuation of Iran's so-called resistance economy, not as a prelude to greater engagement with the outside world. Neighboring Arab states, meanwhile, have their own reasons for not wanting to see Iran's economy pick up. Robert Jordan, former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, says Iran didn't just sit back and watch its oil industry degrade under sanctions. It started to create a non-oil economy.
And so they now make more cars in Italy. They are very robust in their non-oil economy, which countries like Saudi Arabia have not been able to do. This is all going to be, I think, a very bleak competitive environment for the Saudis.
If, that is, this nuclear deal can get past critics in Congress and Iran and begin to take effect. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.